You're listening to episode 289 of the She's Building Her Empire podcast. Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hey there, Stacey Tuschel here from shesbuildingherempire.com. And I'm super excited because today we have my good friend Mel Abraham here. And Mel is just the king of frameworks. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to go deep. We're going to talk about how to get your content, just content that's good enough or great enough for people just to want to keep consuming, keep coming back to your website, to your blogs, to your lives, everything you can possibly think of. He is going to be the go-to guy for that. And we're going to link in the show notes to a couple of Mel's frameworks that you are going to want to make sure to check out because it's going to be a lot easier for you to see and visualize what we're talking about when we're chatting. So I'm going to jump right into this episode. You're going to hear just how amazing Mel truly is, and I can't wait for you to meet him. Hi, Mel. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Stacey. I mean, this was a long time coming, so it's great to be here.
I know. So I want to tell you two things that I thought of today about you specifically as I'm kind of introducing you as well. But first, I don't know if you even know this, but the first time I ever saw you, I was at a Brendon Burchard event. Of course, I was sitting in the front row because I'm the crazy person who buys the VIP, and then I'm the crazy person who, like, runs and, like, gets in the front. And I sat next to this random girl, a stranger, and she says to me, "Oh my goodness, I think that's Mel Abraham." I'm like, "I don't know who that is." I have no idea who that is. And she says to me, like, "How could I not know who Mel Abraham was?" And I'm like, "I feel like he looks like a bodyguard. I don't really think this is somebody that," like, literally, this is my first, okay, thing of you. Then I hear you randomly speak at a live event, and you blew my mind. I think we were at Fan Page Traffic Academy. I was there. I heard you speak. You were so good. Then, so now I've built you up in my head, like, this guy's amazing. Then all of a sudden you're in my mastermind and you made me nervous, Mel. You seriously—
Did I really?
You did. I remember after one of my hot seats, you, like, gave me your number. You're like, "Listen, if you want to talk more, I can totally walk you through, you know, X, Y, and Z." And I remember thinking, I am not calling this guy. Like, there's no way I could call him and ask him for advice. And it's so funny now because now I've known you for almost like a year and a half.
Yeah.
You're totally normal. You are this wealth of knowledge. You are the kindest person who always wants to share and help. And who better to have on my podcast than you? So
Thank you. You know, just so you know, my wife might argue with the concept of me being normal, but other than that, thanks so much.
Oh my goodness. I know. So it's just so funny how, like, my first view of you and then my second, then I'm like, "Oh my goodness, now I have to, like, hang out with him." And so it's so funny, but you are always so helpful. And I just thought you'd be the best person to really break down some of your amazing frameworks. Like, when I think of frameworks, I think of you. And I really want to share some of that with our audience. So just tell us really quickly, just a little bit about you, your background, and we'll just jump right in.
So, I came around this space in a totally different way. I'm a CPA by education, and I quickly figured out that the CPA world was not for me. And so what I started to do with that was build, at the time, what is today called a thought leader business, a thought leader practice, but it was before it was ever even coined a term. It was coined a term in 1994. We're talking about 1989, 1990, long time ago. And so what I realized at that time is if I wanted to, I'm playing in a commodity space, swapping hours for dollars, the worst business model out there, should be burned at the stake. And so I said, how do I elevate myself from a commodity where I'm not seen as a value, I'm just seen as a utility, but now how do I elevate myself? And this is the same plight that some people feel that they're going to be dealing with in the coaching space and all that stuff. And so one of the things that I realized is that I needed to position myself in a market space differently. And so that's the journey I went on, was to build this first expert business, this first thought leader business. Yeah. In an environment that had no real internet tools, technology, or anything like that. And that journey took me out of the CPA world, although I still dabble in it, into the space of working with entrepreneurs and thought leaders to help them develop their content and develop the things that they're doing. And one of the challenges that I found is that it's easy to get caught up in the marketing hype and not realize that one of the things that we need to do as consultants, as thought leaders, as advisors, as coaches, is be really, really good at communicating what it is we have. Mm-hmm. And I got good at it primarily because the path I took as a CPA was to testify at trial. And here I have a jury of supposedly my peers, and I had to talk about financial stuff, which usually puts people to sleep, and say, how do I make it memorable? How do I make it impactful? And how do I make it so when they go and deliberate and talk about the case, they remember what it is I did? Well, most of the experts would get up and say, and they'd get on the flip chart and they'd put their numbers up in columns and rows, and I would get up and look at the jury and say, is it okay if I draw a picture for you? And that's where I started to realize that the ability to take, and there's two types of frameworks in this. There's a narrative framework, which is really more a list of things. What mm-hmm. we're talking about is a visual framework, a diagram framework. And so when I draw a picture for them, they get a chance to, one, duplicate it, remember it, and now they get a chance to live into it. And I think that's the power. There's a couple reasons that they're really powerful. But that's where I think when you look at top thought leaders in our space, and you know, whether it's a Seth Godin or a Simon Sinek or a Brendan Burchard, a Gabby Bernstein, a Marie Forleo, a Sheryl Sandberg, every single one of them, they build things in the context of framework. Stephen Covey made a whole multi-hundred-million-dollar business on four boxes, but he did it in a way that he did it right. And I think that's the power that brings us into this expert space that shifts and sets us apart. So that's how I kind of came into it. And helping other people backstage with a lot of the top people, helping them with their content, helping them with their delivery and how they do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay. So, and I think too, when you talk about, let's say you have this framework and you've got five steps and you just list them versus you make it in this pretty picture and they can really visually see it. A lot of us are visual. Yes. So I just think it takes it to a whole nother level.
So here's the cool thing about it, and this is why a diagrammatic framework is so important. The visual intake is an emotional intake. You know, when you see a baby or you see a puppy or you see a, you know, there is an emotion that's stirred inside of you. So when you create the framework properly, you actually have the logical side of the structure, you have the emotional side of the picture, and what you get a chance to do is bring your audience in emotionally and logically at the same time. It's the one tool, one of the only tools that you have the ability to do that with. And that's really where then you start to get the power of delivering the message.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we'll definitely have to link to something in the show notes so people can see what we're actually talking about. But I do think it also gives you this level of credibility where it's like, oh, he invented this framework. It's his, right? It's like, you know, when people say like, I'm the founder of this or CEO of that, it just kind of gives you a title. And I think it's a great way when you're starting out that people actually think, oh, wow, she's legit. She has her own framework. You know, it gives that like sense of authority.
Absolutely does. The credibility that comes from it. If you're going to be a thought leader, if you're going to put content out there, they say there's nothing new on the universe. Well, that's fine, but there's new perspectives every day.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is take the topic area, whether it's health and wellness, whether it's corporate culture, whether it's leadership, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, and say, here's the topic, here's the body of knowledge, and say, what's my contribution? How do I change that? How do I give to it more and build that into a framework that says, ooh, they're building on the foundation of everyone that came before, but they're giving new perspective.
Yeah. And I think that really helps when people have, like, we all go through it, this self-doubt, who am I to be teaching? You know, I didn't come up with this or I didn't do this. And I love that you said there's nothing new. I mean, even the people that you follow, the people that you love, they learned it from somebody too. So yeah. It's your perspective. Absolutely. I hope you just gave a sense of relief to a lot of people listening who are feeling that's like that imposter syndrome of what am I doing? Who am I to be doing this?
Here's the interesting thing. I don't know that the imposter syndrome completely ever goes away.
I agree. I agree.
I wrestle with it every day. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, you get the trolls and everything. And God, but at the same time, I love serving and I love getting the message out and seeing the lights go on and seeing people affecting other people's lives. And I think that's what we need to be driven by. And know that that little gremlin called the imposter syndrome is just going to be there on the shoulder and go, oh, you're back again, and just deal with
it. Right. And it's funny because the bigger you get, you always think, oh, it's going to be easier when I have more followers or fans, right? Well, the bigger you get, the more like random questions you'll get. Or people will say, hey, Stacey, I see you have a rental property. Could you teach us? And I'm like, oh, I'm not a real estate expert. I could never teach you about real estate, right? So you all of a sudden like, oh, I only do this area. I'm not an expert over here. So I do think it almost gets worse the bigger you get, the more followers you get, because there's just one person who thinks to ask you a question and you're like, oh no, not me. Go here. Go here for that one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, because even you, how I've had the privilege of hearing you talk about stuff that you don't really talk about a lot in what you're like actually selling. And we're like, oh my goodness, Mel, this is amazing. You need to be teaching this. And you're like, well, this isn't what I really do anymore. This isn't, you know, I'm not at, and it's like, no, like we all have these amazing things we can contribute, but we kind of get stuck in that factor, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's an interesting concept that I started to say, because you're right. I keep getting pushed into some of these other business strategy stuff that I do. And I finally, rather than resisting and saying, that's great, I will talk about it under the umbrella of thought leadership.
Totally.
But outside of it, that's not what I'm going to do. So we're going to start with the umbrella of our theme or our core message or our core solution, and then how it fits in, you know, whether the rental property fits into building the empire and all that stuff. Maybe it fits in, but it's always under that core umbrella first.
Okay. So when somebody asks me a question and they're like, hey, can you teach about this? Kind of step back and ask myself, would this make sense? Would this be an area that I would? Now, if it doesn't, what do you recommend we do? Do we, you know, ignore it? Do we refer them to somebody else? What do you think that would be a great idea to kind of go from?
I think there's two ways to look at it. One is, if you're constantly getting the request for it, then somehow we need to build it out. And it could be an association, a joint venture. It could be bringing someone else in so you have it recorded and we can make that offering. Mm-hmm. Or it could be an ongoing relationship. Or you turn around and say, do I need to do it? One of the key elements that I keep getting pushed into is this, what do people that are going online, what are the first kind of business lessons they really need? Mm-hmm. And I finally said, all right, late this year, I'm going to redo, I have a course on it, but I don't promote it. We're going to redo that course. We're going to revamp it, and we're going to put it in the system. So it's there, but I'm not putting it out there where it's not the lead, but it's something. So I think if it's a one-off, this is a mistake that some folks in the industry will make. And what you end up having is what I call product whiplash, is you get a request from someone else and you decide, okay, I'll go do that. But if there's only one person you're serving, you're not leveraging. So if I have a product, I can put products on the shelf and I can sell them anytime. But in our world, it's our knowledge and our wisdom. And the only way we get a chance to leverage our knowledge and wisdom is to make sure that we are selling into that knowledge and wisdom and not outside of our what I call the core genius, that core brilliance that is unique to you, because then we're doing these one-offs and it becomes a problem. When I first started out, I was doing a lot of speaking. And I'd say, well, what do you want me to speak on? And I would develop a presentation, which it was great for my growth. But if I'm only doing the presentation once, it took a lot of time. It took a lot of effort, and I couldn't refine it.
Okay. So now what do you do? If you can go back and be like, Mel, here's what you should have done, what would you do?
I have this now. So I actually have a speaker kit, and here's the five primary topics I speak on.
Okay.
And anything off of that, I typically don't do unless there is a huge opportunity ahead of it. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. The time and effort I'm going to put into it, although I have a process to be able to create presentations, it just doesn't pan out because I want to reach and I want to impact people. And there's probably better people to do that specific topic.
Well, and I love what you did here. You set up non-negotiables. You're saying, here are the five topics. And then, you know, if somebody pitches you for something else, you have to just evaluate the situation. Is this one of these things where I'd be kicking myself to not say yes to? Is it like a huge audience or just a great opportunity or a way to network with somebody that you've always wanted to connect with? Here might be that chance. So I love that you've set up these boundaries in place.
Yeah, you know, definitely. And it took a while because you kind of wanted, I got to take all the work.
Everything.
And at the very beginning, you kind of do that, need to do that to get that traction. But at some point you can refine that message because you'll confuse the market because they go, well, what? And I know that I've had that challenge at times. They go, you know, our friend Brandon Lucero, he says, you're like the Swiss Army knife. Like, great. Which tool is out now?
Oh, that's so funny. Well, and that's the thing is we like you said in the beginning, you want to be everything for everybody. You want to say yes to every opportunity, but then it becomes really hard to understand who, like, what kind of expert are you? What do you actually specialize in? So I think having that speaker kit or creating something like it is going to be very helpful for anybody listening to become that expert in whatever it is, the direction they want to head in.
Yeah. We need to control the message that's out there in the world. Because it's so easy to get information out, we want to make sure that we're the ones that control how we're framed. When I first started out, no one would hire me. They didn't know who I was back in the CPA days. Yeah. And they said, well, you don't have experience, so we can't hire you. And I go, well, great. If you don't hire me, I don't get experience. How do I get in the game? Hire me, I'll get some experience, and you can hire me again. So what I did is I went out and started speaking. I started writing. I started doing press releases. I started doing articles. And what I did is I created a perception in the marketplace that caused them to stop asking about experience because the perception was I had a ton of experience.
Completely. Yeah.
And then you deliver the results behind it. And now all of a sudden you positioned yourself differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk about just like creating content, the framework behind that? Because now, you know, people are listening going, yeah, I want to get on a podcast or I want to get on a speaking or I just want to use my own platform, but actually do it in a way that somebody goes, she's the expert in this, or she's always talking about that. I love going to her for this topic.
So here's the interesting thing. There was a time in our lives where information was the holder of the information was valuable. I still remember when the encyclopedia salesperson came to our door and we got the Encyclopedia Britannica and all of a sudden we had all this knowledge.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore because now we've got Google and Google is, so information isn't valuable. It isn't as valuable. It's the commodity. If we're in this space, what we need to do is deliver a result, deliver transformation. So one of the questions is, whatever knowledge you have in your head, how do you move that from information to transformation? And I think there's five phases or five steps that we need to think about and go through when we're putting content out to make sure that we do that. And the first, at the first level, it's about the information being essential. In other words, what it is something that they believe they need in their lives. If I'm out there and I see a problem in the world, and I've seen this happen where it's a problem in the world, I see this problem, I'm going to give the solution to the problem, but guess what? The market doesn't want the solution. Mm-hmm. They don't see it as a problem. Then it's not essential. And so whatever information, whatever concept or information you're going to put out there, your market has to see it as a solution to a problem they want solved. We got to be in their shoes.
Yeah.
And if we can't get past that point, then none of it's going to matter. So at the base level, what solution are you providing to a problem that is aching in their heart that they need a solution to? First step.
All right, real quick, I want to take a moment and let you know about a new boot camp that we've got going on. So starting October 29th, we're kicking off the Focused Formula Boot Camp. It's going to be 30 days, you and me together getting super hyper-focused on finishing the year strong. We're breaking down email, getting it down to zero, yes, zero, your calendar management, project management systems, everything you need to do to get organized because 2019 is going to be here before you know it. And if you want to make sure you're ready to get the year started right, you're going to want to do this, okay? Go to bit.ly/focusedformulabootcamp to get all of the details. And as soon as you sign up, you're going to already get access to some of the bonus videos and workbooks before we actually get started. All right, get a jump start now by going to bit.ly/focusedformulabootcamp. Let me ask you, because I have some clients, and sometimes I even feel this way. Sometimes, you know, our clients think they have this problem, but really they have something else and we want to fix it for them, right? So we have this other thing where I can help you, but it's not the fun thing that you want to do. It's the thing you actually need. How do we not bait and switch, but how do we deliver what they want, but still give them what they need?
So the way to do it is one, we can get you there. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm trying to learn how to surf. In fact, I just had a surf session this morning where Mother Nature beat the crap out of me. Okay. And I enjoy the surfing and I want to get there.
Yeah.
But if they told me that in order to get there, I'm going to go out in the water and I'm going to swim for 90 minutes and chase a surfboard for 90 minutes and then swim back out and do it again, I probably would say, God, I don't know if I want to do it.
Right.
I don't want to sell a process. Mm-hmm. I want to sell the outcome. And once the outcome, they know that's the outcome, they say, all right, so now let's talk real about how do you get that outcome in the long haul?
Yeah.
I face this in the work that I do a lot because a lot of people don't want to do the work to really become a thought leader, because I'm going to tell them, you got to go introspective, you got to explore, you got to dig in. It's not just flippantly putting information out there.
Yeah.
And that takes work, and some people don't want to do it. Well, guess what? If you want to be at the top 3%, just like the champions are, you're going to do the things that the other people aren't going to do. And mm-hmm. that's the difference. So I would still sell the outcome. And when we've got them into the outcome, it's not bait and switch, it's being real and saying,
yeah.
okay, if you really want to do this and we're playing the long game, here's how this works out. Because I've watched other people do it the way you're thinking, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work. And here's what can happen. So
okay. I
think that's the way we need to approach it. And mm-hmm. there are going to be those that just aren't our cup of tea, if you will, and they're not willing to do it. And I get it. And they may come back around and go, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think a lot of us just want that quick, fast, like overnight success. And it's just not there. You know, I always tell people, you've seen this big person take off, but they've been doing this for 10 years, or they've been, you know, maybe they've only done this for a year, but they came from an area of expertise that helped them pick up very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think there's so much behind the scenes you just don't get to see.
You don't get to see. And I call it the Jack and the Beanstalk syndrome. I said, you don't toss the seeds out the window and wake up the next morning and it's fully grown. It just
right.
doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Not if you want a sustainable business. And let's face it, this is our calling. So this is our lifetime's work.
Yeah.
Why are we being impatient with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what is the second step to this creating this content?
So the second step is that your content needs to be expansive. In other words, there's a body of knowledge, there's a body of work in your area of expertise right now. So first things I'd ask is how many of the folks in the audience have actually read the top three texts in your topic area in the last 6 months? And I'll tell you, I ask these audiences a lot all the time, and there's so many people that don't put their hands up. I said, then how can you be an expert in that space?
Mm-hmm.
And so first off, being completely informed about the other experts in the space and what they're teaching, and then asking yourself, what can I contribute or contradict? What are the mm-hmm. things that I can bring to the table that give a new perspective, a new view on it, so I become actually a leader in the space and not a repeater in the space?
Yeah.
And so the next piece is how can I expand the thinking on this topic area?
I love that. And so you just said, how can we contribute or contradict? Both really great points, because there might be, you don't always have to agree with the top people in your space. You may have a different perception again. You may have something that worked well for you. Share that, right? We don't all have, I mean, if we all are the same, then they don't need to be listening or they don't need to be watching. So use your area of expertise. Just shine. Just show what you have to give.
Totally. Which then leads us to this third step, which is the step that most people will miss.
Okay.
And that is the content that you create and deliver must be actionable.
Yeah.
In other words, if it's not actionable, we can't get results.
Yeah.
Which means that there needs to be a proprietary process. It needs to be proprietary, so it is only you that gets them from point A to point B. And when you have a process in place, they don't need to know the process. They just need to know a process exists. Why it's so important is that your audience will automatically say there's certainty in an outcome. Mm-hmm. The process gives certainty. It gives confidence. And so we need to make it actionable. There needs to be some way to say, okay, if I am at point A and I want to get to point B, that Stacy's got a process to get me there. That makes me feel comfortable and relaxed.
Yeah, and I think doing a lot of five-day challenges, I can tell you that people love getting those quick wins, those quick results, and it makes them feel confident knowing that, okay, if I can get results in 5 days or however long you do it, then I can't wait to see what I can get out of the program, right? Yes. So I think it has to be actionable, and not just actionable, because there can be too much action. You said get results is what I heard. Yeah. So don't like flood them with all this amazing content, but it's like drinking out of a fire hose and they get nothing because they're just blown away. So give them the stuff that's actually going to give them results, which is what they want.
What you just said is a huge distinction. The first time I did my very first live event a lot of years ago, I took 2.5 decades of entrepreneurship, dumped it on people in 2.5 days.
It's like everything you need right here.
Oh my God. And it was totally a ton of value.
Yeah.
And totally useless.
Yeah.
Because I overwhelmed them. And so the real question we got to ask is, what's their point A and what's their point B? You have a lot of knowledge outside of that doesn't mean anything to them. You think about a college degree. You start with 101, you go to 201, you go to 301. We got to do the same thing.
Yeah.
If our sole objective as a thought leader is to get new results for our audience. The way we get new results is we get them to change behavior. The way we change behavior is we get them to change thinking. The way we do that is make sure that we give them the seeds they need at the moment. And once they get that, we give them new seeds.
I love this. So good. Well, and you know, as we're talking about this, it makes me think of one of my online courses. That was my worst online course I had, because what did I do? I thought, they need everything. I'm going to put every module and it was one of those everything but the kitchen sink. And it was also hard to deliver a promise or say, what am I going to get out of this course? Because it was, you're going to get everything. You're going to be amazing. You know? And I think the more niche my courses got, the more I started to sell them.
Yeah. It's so true. I think we all have to go through that phase.
I do too.
just get out of your system. My book, when I first get the book to the publisher, it was over 100,000 words. And they go, you got to get this down to 60,000. I'm going, oh, how do I do that?
I know, but okay. So this is so good. So I'm glad that there's somebody listening who's probably new and is going, oh, I'm not going to make this mistake. I'm going to make sure, because I wish I would have known that. I thought I was just giving so much value and they were going to love it. And I went really like, how do I say this? I felt like I had to go surface level because I couldn't go deep on any topics because I was giving them everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I actually under-delivered when I wanted to over-deliver.
Yeah, exactly. Because if our objective isn't delivering a course, but truly transformation, getting results, then just give them what they need. You know, we don't serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner at one meal. If it's dinner time, we give them dinner. Sometimes
I love that analogy. That is so good.
So, so then that leads us to then this next step, which is refining the content, which is where frameworks come in. How do I take the complexity of what I do and make it simple? And frameworks allows them to do that by allowing them to see themselves in a framework, to see the process. They go, ooh, I get it. I can do it. And so creating a visual diagram, and there's a lot of different ways to use frameworks, but in a nutshell, creating a visual diagram that gives them a structure, gives them a direction, exudes an emotion. So I can build a framework that creates frustration, angst, desire, aspiration, and be intentional with it. And then more importantly, that we orchestrate how they see the framework as if it's a reveal. I look at it as a dance between me and the audience and allowing them to go, oh, every step of the way, because every step of the way, if they agree and they buy the premise, they'll continue to buy the premise, they'll buy the promise. And we don't just throw it all at them. We orchestrate the delivery of it.
I love that. So let me ask you, when you do these frameworks, is there a certain number or range of numbers we should shoot for? Not that I'm like, here's my 17-piece framework of how to do blah, 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 right?
So depending on the framework, but I think when you look at it, 3 to 7 pieces is enough.
Okay.
But when we teach frameworks, typically frameworks have 3 different levels to it. One is creates an awareness. One creates a, so we don't have to teach all of it at once because there's depth to it if we build it right.
Okay. So how can we maybe put some of these, what we think is a piece of the framework, kind of bundle them together and maybe all of a sudden we have 3 versus the 10 we originally had or something like that?
Yeah. So what you look at is we start to it's a word game. It's a concept game. We capture our thinking and then we start to look at it and say, all right, how can I chunk these into, like, for instance, one of my main frameworks is Legacy Maker, the Influencer's Genius Formula. And it's about distinction, it's about reach, and it's about prescription. So if I gave you everything that's underneath that, I'll overwhelm you. But when I say, look, we got to figure out how you're distinct, we got to build reach into your business, and we got to give you the prescription to monetize it, you go, oh, I can do that.
Yes.
And that's what I need from them. And then we go, all right, cool. Let's talk about how we do that. And we go one more level deeper.
Yeah. Okay. I love this. And we kind of did this without even realizing it. With one of my online courses, we used to have 12 modules and now we have 4 phases.
There
and I
go.
Think it's just, it still gives them the same value, but it makes them think I can handle 4 things. I can do 4 things versus can you do 12? Right. It makes you start to get like, this could take me a long time to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we want them across, we got to get them across 3 lines. I need it now, and I can do it. And that I can do it line is something that we miss a lot. Yeah. When you're speaking from stage, they go, this is good stuff and I need it. But if they don't believe they can do it, they're not going to go act on it. And the same thing in our courses, same thing. And so we need to get them across the I can do it line.
I love that. Okay, cool. And then what's the last step?
The last step is this. This is another thing that I think people will make a mistake of is distinction. Your delivery, the experience for your audience, the way you do that. The problem, this whole framework that we just talked about, is that this framework builds. It's what I call an evolutionary framework. It has to go in the order that we just talked about it. The mistake people make is they go, how am I going to be distinct?
Yeah.
You can be distinct by shaving your head and painting your head orange, but that doesn't make value. Because if we go with distinction first, we haven't built the depth into the content to get it actionable, to get it to build that content. But if we go the other way and say, all right, how do I refine my delivery? How do I create an experience for my audience? How do I make that distinct? Now that I've done the work below, now you've got something that's golden.
Yeah, because no matter what space you're in, you're probably in what you feel is a saturated market.
Yeah.
And this is the way you'll stand out. This is the way people will separate you from other people.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So where do you see, when we're looking at this 5-step framework, and I want to wrap up quickly, but with these 5 steps, where do you see the most difficulty or the biggest problem area that people usually miss? Like if I had to look at just one of these and go, am I doing this? Where should I start?
I think that where you start is, and this is where I think a lot of people, you fall in love with your baby.
Yeah.
Is it essential in their world? One, is it a problem that I need, that they want solved? And the second piece of that, how do I articulate it? What I call double deep.
Yeah.
You know, you say, talk about the benefits, not the features. Well, that's great. The benefit of a productivity course is that I'm going to be more productive. But that's a left brain benefit. What's the double deep? What's the next step? What does that give me in my life? Because then I can speak to the benefits of the solving that problem, and I can speak to the cost of not solving the problem. If I'm good at that point, I got their attention. And when I have their attention, now I can start to deliver above the rungs. Yeah. I can get the best frameworks. I can build the content. I can have my distinction. And if I don't get that first level right, and communicate it effectively, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I mean, you can just keep trying to sell and pitch all you want, but if you're not selling to what they actually need or feel is the problem, it just doesn't matter. You know, if you're selling to the wrong person, it doesn't matter.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, Mal, this was so good. Yay! Okay, so I'm so excited we really finally did this too. We've been talking about it for so long. So thank you for coming on. Before we wrap up, I would love for you to share with everybody, like, where can they find you? Where's your favorite platform you hang around? Just any links or any place we should be thinking about.
Cool. Thank you. First off, this has been a joy. So thanks for having me. I have a Facebook group called the Influencers Dojo. Okay. So thought leaders and folks in there that I do some lives and there's training in there. Thoughtpreneur Academy is my main kind of this process at a deeper level that you thoughtpreneuracademy.com. Okay. And then my main website, melabraham.com. But I'm on Instagram too, melabraham9. Okay, cool. But I guess there was eight others before me.
I was just like, wait, what?
I don't.
Really?
No.
Wow. Yes. Interesting. Interesting. I would not have thought that. Okay.
I know. So.
Okay. So before we go, any last like words of wisdom, anything you want to share with somebody listening today, just one more big takeaway, or even maybe something you've already said that you want to just reiterate.
Yeah. I think is this, we come to a space and we want to be a thought leader. And the reason we want to be a thought leader is to serve. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we're serving from our internal calling. It's what we were placed on this earth to do. It's the indelible dent that we're going to leave. And I think we need to give it the respect it deserves, the time it deserves, and the patience it deserves to build it and to do it right. And know that there'll be obstacles, there'll be challenges, there'll be times that it may not be easy, mm-hmm. but there is an audience out there that today they're suffering and they're searching for your solution, and let that be the fuel to get you to keep going and to put it out there in a big way. Because as a collective of what I call the army of difference makers, we can shift society, we can change our global world, and we can make people's lives better.
Absolutely. I could not agree more with you. And I think we're kind of going back to that moment of, can I do this? Should I be doing this? If you truly know what you're doing is helping people, that's all that matters. So I love what you just shared, because there might be somebody right now thinking, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe, I love that when somebody says, I've been doing this for 6 weeks, I'm getting like nothing's happening. And you're like, well, it may take longer than 6 weeks, but, so I want you to know that we all, Mel and myself and every big guru you could possibly find out there, has gone through a time where they've questioned, is this worth it? Should I keep going? Does anybody care? We've all asked ourselves those questions, but if this is what you're truly meant to be doing, you need to keep going for it.
Absolutely. I think one last thing I would say is play to the audience of one. Not worry about serving the millions, because you know what? It's good enough for me that if there's one person standing on the ledge and I talked them off the ledge, then I did what I needed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You're making an impact.
Yeah.
Mel, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming. Oh, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was cool.
Absolutely. All right. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.